We spent a good chunk of yesterday talking about Mark Attanasio and a quote that he had at spring training a couple of days ago. Even asked Adam Schefter about what he felt the role of an owner should be. And this quote that we talked about really caused a stir, obviously, with the fan base. People are passionate about Mark Attanasio saying, is it my job to win a World Series, or is it my job to provide, you know, entertainment for families throughout the course of the summer? And that's a paraphrase. That's not a direct quote. So we talked a lot about that yesterday. And online, now his son, Mike Attanasio Chewy, is defending him, saying he was entirely misquoted. I was sitting in the room. The goal is always to win the World Series, but it's also important as the steward of the franchise to provide a summer of passion and excitement for fans so you don't lose a generation of fans like some teams do when you have a long rebuild. We always want to be competitive to avoid that. Very frustrating to see what the writer posted, which completely was not in the spirit of the comments that were made. Well, we've got the entire quote. Now, granted, it is a long quote. It is 2 minutes. But I feel like in the fairness of, we only played part of the quote yesterday, here is the full quote. It is about 2 minutes long, so stay with us. It's about 2 minutes long, but you tell me if everything he said around the quote we talked about, Chu, makes a difference to what Mark Attanasio said.
Mark, given all that's happened in the Yelich contract since, you know, in his career since he signed that, do you foresee ever doing a deal of that magnitude again, or do you think...
Sure. Yeah. Just has to be the right player in the right time in our life cycle. And I think, you know, I thought about a lot of this a lot when we did the contract with Yelich. You know, it's great to have generational players that the fans can follow. You know, we had, you know, Yount and that. And so you get into the... Some of the questions, what's your job? Forget about calling yourself, you know, if you're the steward of baseball here. Is my job to win a World Series? Now it's going to, everybody say, oh, he doesn't get to win a World Series. But is my job to win a World Series? Is my job to provide a summer of entertainment and passion and a way for families to come together? And I actually, because you don't know when you sign with these, I decided it was that more so than, you know, what could you get for Christian Yelich in a trade, and how would that go into the fancy computer model that Matt and his team have, and so I'm committed to that, and I'm committed to the legacy of all the players. You know, CC comes back, Hall of Famer CC Sabathia. Yeah, he was here for 2 months, and he has a connection here. I try to keep connections with all of the guys who've been here because, you know, we've developed you can walk downstairs. You guys have on a few, you have, but, you know, every Brewer player, everybody's ever worn the uniform is listed downstairs, and you have generations of it. And, you know, we're all part of the same history. And so, yes, sure, of course.
Does the full quote, Chu, change anything in the way we talked about the quote that he had said yesterday?
No, that's just a total CYA walk back.
I mean, that's a word salad that he just kind of threw out there. Like, it was just kind of a word salad. And still within that, I feel like, yes, Mark Attanasio wants to win a World Series. I don't feel like it's number one on his list. Whether or not, you know, whether you cut out the little clip in there in the middle, whether you listen to the entire thing, like, winning World Series, I think, is on the list. I just don't think it's number one on the list.
To me, that made it worse, because didn't he kind of allude to making decisions there based on what people feel about a Christian Yelich versus what he might provide to the team? Wasn't that the way that was interpreted?
Like, it could be, certainly.
Like, he said he would give out a big contract again, and it's like, okay, great, those are words, and maybe there will be another big one that happens down the future,
it would be after Christian is gone.
Right, right, and what he was alluding to there was kind of what we are all talking about, is that if you think entertainment and providing those moments for people is that important, it seems like that's a bigger priority to you than winning World Series and winning at the highest level. And I don't think the 2 minutes we just listened to contextualizes it the way his son tried to make it seem. I don't think it did a good job of it. And maybe there's a 5-minute cut. But to me, that sounded like question and full answer.
That was question and full answer. That was it.
Was he patting himself on the back for Yelich? I mean, Yelich is one player. I mean, look at the Bucks.
No, he was just using Yelich as an example.
Right, because okay, the question was based on Yelich and the fact that he signed a big contract, and the contract hasn't panned out the way they would have wanted to. He was a once MVP, and he's since battled injuries, and I think what was being insinuated by the question was, since you got burned on this, will you be doing it again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to do it again.
Yeah, eventually.
That's what we thought.
The Bucks were an example. That is Dame under a supermax or just a max?
I mean, he's getting paid a boatload of money. Yeah.
But you had a supermax in Giannis. You had, let's say, a max in mm-hmm. Dame, and then you had a max in Chris Middleton. One big contract is not enough to be relevant to be in the conversation to win a World Series, right? I mean, what did Adamas?
Well, so the problem
what was his contract?
The problem with the Adamas contract is he ended up getting 6 years, and Willie's not going to have Willie doesn't really have a game that is going to age gracefully. So I think like the last, he got a 7-year deal. He got 7 years, $182 million. Like, the last 4 years of that deal are just going to be woof. Like, because he's just not going to be good enough, right? Like, he's just not going to be, he's not going to age gracefully, I think, in baseball. And that's where the Brewers can't sign somebody.
I think the big question is, Gabe, for the fans, is do you expect a owner at times to be in the red or whatever the bad one is?
I still can't believe you haven't figured this out. Yes.
Well, in the red. Do you mm-hmm. expect – I'll ask you guys that. Do you expect an owner who has – I don't know much. I know he's got a lot of money. Let's just say that. Do you expect an owner to go into the red sometimes? Because my guess, if you look at the books over the last handful of years, he's probably been in the black every year. Josh?
Yes. Now, there's clever accounting that happens, and sometimes they like to show their books and say, hey, we lost money. But they're doing that cleverly because they're building out the spring training facility. And like that money, when you actually boil it down, you're not losing money on those adventures because they are going to gain you more money in the future. Those are all ways to do it. You would expect the Brewers, based on the amount of money they get every single year, I would say half the time you would be in the red because you felt you had a team that could win at a higher level. So for that year, you said, hey, even though we're going to lose $15 million here, it'll be worth it in the long run, and we could get that money back through other avenues.
Because that's what the Bucks did, right? The Bucks franchise every value year skyrocketed.
Yeah, once they built the arena, once they won a championship, everything just went up.
But they were willing to spend money.
Yeah, so
I mean,
they're losing.
For example, it sounds like Anastasio, yes, I agree with you, would love to win a World Series, but he's more interested in building his net worth, and I know he's got a couple different irons in the fire, than, say, going in the red 1 year to really give them a chance to go and win it all.
For example, Mark Lazary, who bought out of the team, of the Bucks, probably lost money in the short term. Like when they bought the franchise, the money they put into the arena, the salary year over year, probably lost some money. And then gained it all back when he sold the team. Like, gained it all back and then plus some, right? Because you're losing cash, but the overall value of the franchises in any sport continue to go up. So that's where I would expect, every once in a while, be in the red. I don't know if the Brewers are going to do that, and that's just a fact of the matter. Justin chiming in on the Carblues Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776, saying he did do it again. He gave a dude who never played in the majors an 8-year deal. But the contract that he gave to Jackson Churio also doesn't compare. The Christian Yelich deal is literally $100 million more.
Yeah.
Literally $100 million more. More than double than what Churio got. So they did that creative contract. That's something that teams have done previously, but
it's really just screwing the player.
Yelich contract, well, I think it worked out for both parties because the player's getting more money up front than he would if he just went through the regular process. And he's going to make more money over the length of that deal than he would had he just gone through arbitration every year and all those
teams aren't giving those deals out of the goodness of their heart.
No.
Let me ask you guys this because I really don't know. Are there parallels between Herb Cole and Ananasio? And why did they run Herb out of town?
I think there are comparisons. It's just success has reached the Brewers more, and that's through building of the team. Now, if we remember, as Gabe was mentioning, sports teams owner make their money when they sell the team eventually. The Brewers were bought for $223 million. Do you want to guess what they're worth right now?
2.1.
$1.6 billion.
Okay.
So for owning this team and making money pretty much year over year on a consistent basis, he also has a $1.6 billion stake. Now, he doesn't see that money now. I understand that. I understand how that works. But it isn't a year over year business. You aren't just trying to make a profit every single year. It is a long-term investment that will yield you $1.3 extra billion. That's what being a sports owner is. It's not about, well, we made enough money because we raised ticket prices and we sold more concessions. You love to do that. It's great. But that's not what the Dodgers do every year. That's not what most of the teams in major sports do.
Well, unless you're an NFL owner where everything is
just make money.
Yeah, but Gabe, if we were to ask the old-timers, and I didn't know where Green Bay was, really, when I got drafted in 92, but there was probably the same kind of feeling in the 70s and 80s with the Green Bay Packers because there was no free agency, there was no salary cap, and they were horrible probably because they didn't spend any money.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Well, I mean, and just based on some of the stories you told when you initially got there, the team wasn't spending any money, not just not on players, but like facilities, and you guys had to pay for your own soap and different, you know, and jock straps and things like that. Like, it's again, the NFL changed everything when they went to a hard salary cap and made it easier for everybody to make money.
I mean, there's a ton, well, not a ton, but there's a lot of billionaires in this world and country. You know how quick someone would buy the Brewers for, what'd you say, Josh? 1.6. You know how long that list would be?
Yeah.
It'd be long.
Especially because, like,
it'd be long.
I mean, you've got people coming out of the woodwork or spending more than that on a lot of franchises. Like, we just had a contentious potential takeover of the Minnesota Timberwolves for, I believe, more than that. With a group headed by Alex Arraya. It would be long. But I think I firmly believe that Mark Attanasio loves owning the Brewers. He's talked about leaving it for his kids.
Sure.
I feel like this is something that he enjoys doing. And that's the reason why he keeps it. Like, if you're somebody who's thinking that he should sell the team, it ain't going to happen. Like, so get that thought out of the head. Like, I don't think he's going to sell the team. I just think he needs to, you know, not say things where it makes it seem like winning a World Series isn't a priority. That's the takeaway here. Like, just don't enrage your fan base during spring training.
He didn't just say it. He meant it. The problem is he said it out loud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, because I would argue that the things that he said, because, yes, you want to be good and you want to have you be a steward of the franchise and all these sorts of things. Like, your job is both. Like, your job is both. That's the problem. Like, is my job this or that? No, the answer actually to that question that Mark decided to ask himself is both. Your job is both.
Yes.
And that's where you got to figure it out. We'll get to the top eight. Hopefully it'll be a quick one. Coming up next. But guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Now, maybe you don't know what your future wife wants in an engagement ring. It's easy. You go to her Pinterest page, you bring it in, and you let the team at the Jewelry Center and the helpful team, the Dean, the Dancing Machine has put together, point you in the right direction. They are going to make sure that dream ring becomes a reality. Whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, they have options, and whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, you're going to find it at the Jewelry Center. Check out the inventory online, shoptjc.com, or stop in at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Can always find out more at shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chu sent you.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top eight answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top eight at eight.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top eight at eight on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top eight at eight on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I've got a list of eight things in front of me, and I am going to, okay, we've got the list of eight things, or at least I had it there. Okay, now we're good. Chewy, Josh, you guys guess back and forth. Once each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776. Simple question today. I'm just looking for the top eight Packers and sacks from 2024.
Top eight?
Top eights. Top eight
today
from last year. Very simple question, very simple list.
Rashawn Gary
is number one with 7.5 sacks.
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson?
I don't know his first name, Wilson.
Eric Wilson had 2 sacks. That is outside the top eight.
Great.
Wow, Lucas Van Ness had more than 2 sacks?
Devontae Wyatt
is number 2 at 5.
Edgerrin Cooper.
Coop comes in at 3.5 in a tie for 5th.
Kingsley Enagbare
is number 3.
With how many?
4.5.
Did I might need help with his name here? Brenton Cox Jr.
Brenton Cox Jr. had 4 sacks. He is 4th. All right, you just have the last 3 on the list, Josh.
Is one of them a defensive back?
And was this your original list, or you needed to get through this segment quickly?
This was my... I'm not going to lie to you. I was struggling to come up with a list today, and this is just really... I mean, every once in a while, you do this every week. You don't, not everyone's going to be a home run, so we've spent a lot of time talking about Packers D-line, so I figured, okay, let's talk about sacks in the top 8.
Here's the thing. I know Keyshawn Nixon had 2 sacks, but I don't know if he had more than that and if he got into the above that. Is Preston Smith on the list because he was there a decent amount of time?
Okay, now you're doing the Jen thing where you're just shotgunning
you're
names and you're asking questions.
Preston Smith is going to be my next guess. It's either that or Carl Brooks. Let's do Carl Brooks first.
All right, Carl Brooks is on the list. 3.5 sacks for Carl Brooks.
I mean,
so
trying
that ties him for 5th. With Edgerrin Cooper.
Trying to figure out
what a
who had 2
list. This
sacks.
Is like, give me the top 8 books on Amazon right now.
And then
now.
Keyshawn Nixon what must the? Be on the list if 3.5 makes it. Say
is that
no?
A question or an answer?
See, exactly. See, this is what we deal with every week.
Yeah.
Josh is just playing the role of Jen, of like, he's out of names to guess, so he just wants to see if he can trick me into giving him an answer.
TJ Slayton.
TJ Slayton had 1 sack.
Ah.
He is not on the list. So we just need the bottom 2. I will say this. They both have 3 sacks.
Wow.
Both have 3 sacks. Number 7 and 8, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. The top 8 Green Bay Packers in sacks in 2024.
This is just whack-a-mole guessing which linebacker or defensive lineman at this point. It could be any of them. Because getting 2-3 sacks is sort of just what you get for playing a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
It's just, I was on the field a lot. That's what we're dealing with right now.
They got a lot of guys that had between 7.5 and 3 sacks.
Let's go next week. Top 8 guys who batted down passes on the D-line.
800-990-3776. You're just upset because Josh took Rashawn Gary and then you decided to guess Owen Wilson.
Well, he started off hot. Didn't he have a couple sacks early in the year and he just kind of fizzled?
Yeah, Eric, he finished with 2 sacks on the outside looking in. We'll see if Mike from Franklin can close out our top eight at list. Mike, who you got? Top 8 Packers in sacks. We have the first 6. We need number 7 and 8, both with 3 sacks.
Can I either read the 6 back to you, or can you just recap them real quick?
So,
I missed on the phone call.
Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt, Kingsley Agbaje, Brenton Cox Jr., Edgerrin Cooper, Carl Brooks are the first 6. Incorrectly guessed, we had Eric Wilson and T.J. Slayton.
Well, even though he did get many, Lucas Van Ness has got to be on there somewhere.
Lucas Van Ness had 3 sacks, so he is indeed on the list. Do you have the last one, Mike?
Keyshawn Nixon.
Keyshawn Nixon also with 3 sacks.
I was right.
You were right. You didn't guess him. You decided to guess T.J. Slayton instead. So Mike closes out the list.
What did Kenny Clark have?
I think it was 1 or 2.
He had 1. Him and T.J. Slayton and Xavier McKinney all finished with 1.
Ouch. That stings, Birch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting Kenny Clark to get, 10 sacks, but...
One's good for you?
But, 7 or 8 would be more appropriate, I would say.
Yeah.
1?
All right.
Again, I think that just illustrates how important that position is this offseason for the Green Bay Packers. I'm assuming you would agree with that, Chewy?
Yeah. They're not going to do anything, so prepare yourself.
Yeah. Jared and Canton kind of wraps it up, I think, the best way. Man, what a depressing 8-8 list.
Yeah.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Not seeing is your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes.
John chimes in when it comes to the Mark Attanasio situation. And we played the full quote earlier today since his son, Mike Attanasio, felt like he was misquoted. I feel when you hear the entire question and answer, it doesn't really change anything that he had said. But John on the Carbless Talk and text line, it's a little bit longer one, so, kind of bear with me here. ESPN Milwaukee takes on the Brewers are some of the worst ever. Is my job both? It was a rhetorical question. Furthermore, is it not the city and state who is pressuring the Brewers to do more in terms of entertainment? That's how the Brewers got all the money from the state. It's because we are fixing up the stadium. Part of that plan is to make AmFam a winter concert venue. Who made Mark do that? I recall Manfred first forcing us to spend money on the stadium. Then I remember the city and state threatening to not to pay to keep the Brewers around if all they are is a baseball team. Mark bent the knee to the city and the states. Keep complaining and bleeping on the team. Again, all horrible takes.
Let me take this quick.
Okay.
That is categorically the wrong idea of what happened there. What the state did was say, if you want our taxpayer money to take care of your stadium, you need to provide more to the community than just simply a baseball game. So to frame it the opposite direction, as if Mark was some innocent party here that was being attacked by the state, is so wrong. They're taking public funds for something where he has enough money to take care of those things, but they came groveling to all of us and said, give me more of your money. So to pretend that that was somehow the other way around,
yeah,
and he was somehow, like, he was unjustified, he was the one that was suffering that? No, that's not how that happened. And to pretend that is unbelievable. It makes me so angry.
Some people are stupid.
Josh is fired up. Josh is fired up.
Josh gets fired up.
What? How have we gotten this far along in major sports and not determined that billionaires taking money from the state is not good for us? They're taking advantage of us.
Homo. Yeah. What he said.
Quit pretending that that wasn't something they said. If you want money, you need to do more. You can't just be your team there. Goodness.
Pants on fire.
Look, however we got to this point, I'm glad they did because I'm really hoping we get a Royal Rumble here in the next couple of years at AmFam. Got to winterize that baby to get a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. We'll bring Shefty in his robe, too.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine we get Shefty there at AmFam for the Royal Rumble when it comes? But again,
poor suffering billionaires. Won't you think of them?
All right. With that, as long as we're talking about Major League Baseball, just wanted to, I mean, again, John, it was a long Manfred text too. From John, so I felt like he wanted to. Well, so this is actually one for Manfred, Chu. They are going to be testing in spring training. So if you happen to tune in for a spring training game, you will see they are going to be testing the automated balls and strikes system. Again, they're taking steps to potentially implementing this for regular season. And the fun part is, you get two challenges, Chu. You get two challenges where, you know, if you think it was a ball or you think, whatever ended up happening, you can challenge a call, and then it's like the tennis thing. They put it up on the scoreboard, they have the pitch coming in, and then you know within seconds whether or not it was a ball or a strike. And if you get your challenge right, you do not lose it. So basically, you get two wrong challenges throughout the course of a game.
So you're challenging a computer?
So they have that available. You can challenge the umpire who's going to be behind home plate. But again, okay, it's just kind of a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. You have the technology. Why not do it?
Mm-hmm. As they continue to try to find different ways, this is something they've done at the minor league level. They felt like it has worked. And now that this has the opportunity where you can, again, use it in minor league games, I'm not expecting this. Kind of like last year in preseason football games, Chu, in certain stadiums, it wasn't all because they hadn't gotten all the technology into every stadium, where the chain gang was there, but they were measuring first downs by, you know, different cameras and satellites and whatever they had in the technology for, okay, that's a first down, go ahead and move it forward.
Yeah.
So they didn't implement that for the regular season. I'm not expecting them to implement this for the regular season, but it's a step in the right direction.
What I like, and people probably sometimes don't notice it, is they'll have a correction from somewhere, the booth, New York or whatever, and they don't stop the game. They just keep it going, but they move it to where it's correct.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that at all?
Well, so the one thing with the NFL is I just want them to be more transparent when they're doing those quick reviews. Because sometimes you have to use a challenge, and sometimes you don't. But I just want them to be, if that's what we're going to do, fine, cool, let's go ahead and do it. Like, then just let's get rid of challenges and just everything.
It seems to work very well.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do it quick most times.
Yeah, exactly. Because, and my favorite thing is it's always under the guise of after further discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder who you were discussing this with. Was it the little thing in your ear telling you, hey, that call was wrong, we got to change this real quick?
But I like how they do it immediately. And I know they review every touchdown.
Yeah.
But I think it was in the first quarter where Kansas City seemingly scored and the guy's knee was actually down. They were on that from the start, and it happened so quickly.
Oh, yeah, that was the first touchdown of the game. It was Jahan Dotson.
Yes. That was great. Move it. Keep it moving along. Keep things flowing. Because the play, that's one of the things I noticed when I retired from playing, on how annoying TV timeouts are. You don't notice it as a player.
Oh, because I'm sure you're like talking with the coach. You're doing, it gives you a little bit of a break. You've got always something going on in the field. But if you're just watching the game,
when you're watching the game, I'm like, does the game really stop this much? I don't realize it. No, really. I'm like, holy cow, this is annoying. You know, because a player, you like it. You know, like you said, you're talking to a coach or you're grabbing you're getting your wind back and things like that, but watching it, and it's much better now than it was, say, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, because they used to have they used to have the touchdown commercial, kickoff commercial combination that they've basically gotten rid of.
Yeah.
And they've tried to be a little bit better about it. But yeah, the Major League Baseball thing, again, if you can make the technology make sense, it's super easy for me to go, yeah, that's, why aren't we doing this? If you can make the technology make sense, but then you need to be implementing it.
Is there a chip in the baseball?
No. That would be wildly expensive. Like, they go through so many baseballs, yeah, like throughout the course of a game. It's funny. I saw a video of Greg Maddux talking about, like, there was a certain pitch. He had just got this two-seam run on somebody because there was a scuff on the ball. And, like, yeah, back in the 90s, like, if there was a ground ball to short, like, you still got the ball. Yeah. Now, anytime that ball touches the dirt, they discard it. It's gone.
You see pitchers trying to get the ball back oftentimes if, yeah, it, like, skips in the dirt and it's, like, the catcher gets it because they know that's an advantage.
Yeah. Well, but it's funny. A lot of pitchers don't even know how to use it anymore because, right, they just discard the ball so much. They don't even know. If they got a ball that was scuffed, they wouldn't even know what to do with it anymore.
They would just hold on and hope.
Does it make that big of a deal?
The scuff on the ball?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You, as a pitcher, if you know what you're doing, you can get a couple inches extra run on whatever pitch you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Just from a scuff?
Just from a scuff. You can manipulate it a little bit more.
It adds grip, and then it provides like a force that isn't supposed to be there.
Huh.
Yeah. Like Maddux, Glavine, like all those guys that weren't necessarily fireballers
old
back in the 90s.
Savvy.
Yeah. Like they knew what to do with it.
Like, Gabe, let me ask you this, because you're the resident golfer. If there's a little bit of a scuff on a golf ball, are you discarding it?
No. It
you're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can't afford to be.
if the shell of the golf ball has been like penetrated, then I'll discard it.
Yeah.
But if it's just like a mark from hitting a tree, like if it's just a little extra yellow because it hit the tree, that baby's in play.
Yeah, people have done studies and they've determined basically any marking to your ball that isn't natural is going to affect your flight path. Now, weekend hackers like myself, not really going to notice because I'm going to miss as much as the ball is going to be diverted. But and it also, it's just not economically feasible. Like, you can't be going through 30 balls round 18. That's just not gonna. I don't think your wife's gonna be too happy that you spent another $100 on golf balls.
All right, you learn something every day.
How much could an airline buy you off for? We dive into that coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363. What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I think at this point, everybody is pretty aware of the story of the plane that crash-landed in Toronto, kind of came down, ended up flipping over. Luckily, nobody died in the crash. There were 76 passengers, 4 crew members. They all survived, and as of Wednesday morning, 20 of the 21 passengers who were taken to local hospitals have been released. So again, that is the good news here. So that was a flight that was offered by Delta, and Delta is now offering, and this is straight from them, it says it is offering $30,000 to passengers who were aboard the flight from Minneapolis that crashed and flipped upside down while landing in Toronto on Monday. This gesture, quote, has no strings attached and does not affect rights. It would take you more than $30,000 to go away if you were on this flight, right? Like, let's just be honest. Like, $30,000 is just not enough. No.
If any company is offering you $30,000, no strings attached, lawyer up. Because they're probably finding themselves a way out of paying a lot more money than you would probably be owed.
Yeah.
Anytime someone's like, here's $30K, go, why? Why would you do that to me?
I couldn't believe. I don't know. I saw a lot of the footage, but there were a couple passengers that got out who are like 10 feet from the plane, and they're texting people while the guys are, and it had to be cold as ever, are spraying foam or whatever at the engine. They're like, yeah, you know, no big deal. 30 grand? No, you're a little light.
I mean, the person who gave us first person perspective of them climbing outside of the upside down, like,
yeah.
If I'm with you and you pull out your phone after a plane just turned upside down, I'm going to be furious at you. Put your phone away.
Yeah, let's
get
go.
Me out
yeah.
of here.
Like, we need to move.
I'm right.
Fast.
Yeah.
Like, we are lucky enough that we have survived at this point.
I'm alive.
Get me as far away from this thing as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jet fuel, not necessarily chill. It burns pretty hot.
Get me out of here. Get me. What's the number? It's got two commas in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the nice thing about the $30,000 settlement is there would be no lawyer involved, so it's not like you got to duke out
lawyer fees.
33% of that. So,
well, but still,
you are going to lawyer up, you're going to lose 33%. So yeah, there's a little bit of math involved.
If it's 100K, I'll take my 66 and still have double.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, just to not even. Just the audacity of 30K? That's a plane that crash landed, flipped upside down.
Yeah. I know. What about if they threw in, hey, free flights for the rest of your life on Delta? I'd be like, yeah, I'm good.
Sorry.
Let's see what else is out there.
I might be looking over at American.
I don't know if Delta is really the place where I want to be right now. Like,
yeah.
What do you think?
It's unbelievable, though, that no one...
Right?
There were no fatalities.
Yeah, and...
It's probably like a car crash because they were probably like, la, 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 we're going to land, and all of a sudden, holy cow, we're upside down!
Yeah, because it just
happens
so fast.
You know, they say
so
when you get a car crash, it's worse if you see it coming because you tense up.
Yeah.
So maybe there was a little bit of that.
Yeah, and the fact that only one person is still in the hospital, that's it.
Right.
Like, everybody has survived, and this was just on Monday. And only one person still remains in the hospital is the incredible part. So it's not even like, I mean, not only did they all survive, but like there's only one out of 80 that suffered injuries that is causing them to stay in the hospital for the better part of a week.
They must have all been come crashing down because you're upside down. And when you release that seatbelt, you got to fall.
Yeah, you got to go somewhere. Gravity. Gravity and things of that nature.
Still exists.
I've never had a fear of flying really at all, but with the amount of times I've heard of crashes or things going wrong, it's starting to percolate in the back of the mind. And that's not a place I want to be at.
Like, look, I've got a flight coming up to Vegas here in 2.5 weeks.
Thought about it.
Yeah. Like, is it something I've ever really thought about before? No. Is it starting to creep in a little bit more? Yeah, it is.
It's still definitely safer than us driving to home every day.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just don't like that it's happening more. Even if it's going from 0.5% to 1%, still don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, low percent chance of things.
I'll take the meteor any day.
When's your next flight?
What does that mean?
I go to Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Coming up.
Yeah, that's even before I go to Vegas.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You guys going to be able to live without me? Josh won't.
That's true. Like, who's Josh going to antagonize on a daily basis? The rest of us don't fall for his simple traps.
That's true. Good point.
I'll just have to get more creative.
Wildy and Tausch, they're coming your way next. This has been Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5 ESPN.